das wispas unto the Lord. Sometimes the challenge that we have is predicated on the fact that we know so much about spiritual things, and the knowledge we have becomes a blockage for us and preventing us from entering into experience. You may come to a meeting, and because you know about the spirit realm, you just assume you're already in the realm. And sometimes, because you have a feeling that is characteristic of the kinds of feelings you have whenever you enter the realm, you begin to judge those feelings to become an experience. Most times people are not given the opportunity to talk to God. They come to listen to a great preacher. No wonder they attend too many great meetings and there's no transformation. That you are here is not a guarantee you'll be blessed, because it's not a function of proximity. There are definite laws, there are definite protocols that governs receiving in the spirit. I told a friend the other time, I said, if it's a function of proximity, the wives of ministers will be the most anointed. But there are laws. And one of the laws is the law of expectation. If you want to come and hear Rema, you will hear Rema and you will go away. But if you want an experience, and then the Lord will minister to you himself. What is your expectation this morning? The preacher may disappoint you, but if you look up to the Holy Spirit, then your blessings is a certainty. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Take all the honor. In Jesus' precious name. In the precious name of Jesus. Eternal Father, we honor you this morning yet again for the privilege that we have to be numbered in the congregation of the righteous. We thank you because of your loving kindness, your faithfulness, and on the strength of your faithfulness this morning, we are persuaded that we are going to receive all that you have in stock for us for this conference. As we continue with the build up this morning, precious Holy Spirit, we ask that beyond our insufficiencies, that you will touch us, you will minister to us, and you will bless us, so that as we depart, we may depart with your presence and your fullness and become better equipped for the work that you've given to us to accomplish. Take all the glory, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. such an honor to be here this morning to share with us the word of God. This morning we'll keep it calm, very calm, just to look at some very basic things. To be sure we are starting on the same footing. Much later in the evening, we'll go a bit higher and touch matters that border on the heart of the Father. And at some point, we'll be having some levels of impartations. And then by tomorrow evening, we'll be having demonstration of the Spirit. It will not be so much of a teaching meeting. The things we've learned, we will be demonstrating them. Because we are not lecturers. Even for the teachers of the gospel, they teach as witnesses. So whenever a teacher of the gospel teaches, the realm, the personality that he attempts to communicate shows up on the scene to validate his utterances. So as a teacher of the word, you are not a lecturer. As a preacher of the word, you are a witness. You are a proof that the things of the Spirit are real. You are like an exhibit in the court. So your message is not so much about the intelligibility of your communication. Your message is so much about the extent to which you can communicate the life of what you give expression to. And so we trust the Lord that it will be a build-up, a progressive build-up. See many friends here, ministers of the gospel. The apostle of Jesus himself is here with us this morning. I appreciate you, sir. It's an honor to have you. When you see men of proven with testimony, proven records in the kingdom seated, then you begin to wonder what you'll be sharing. Hallelujah. You know, if God have not helped you and you see certain people, you may be tempted to change your message. So that everybody will be blessed. But we thank him for coming. Your presence validates to a very large extent what God wants to do. My friend Abba Benedict, Pastor Ann, Pastor Faith Oita, it's so nice to have you. And of course, my very good friend, all the way from Ukari. He was the JCCF president of Federal University Ukari. I was there with them last year. Thank you for coming. It's good to see you. And the leadership, thank you for having me this morning. So this morning, I'm going to be attempting to just explain a few basic things so that some of the skills that prevent us from seeing and perceiving correctly will fall off. I was listening to Reinhard Bonnke talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he began by narrating his experience in Africa. He said many years ago when they were in Africa, the vehicle they had was a truck. And then you didn't have these power steerings. So the wife, when they drive around, it's so much labor, you know, to navigate the turns. It's literally like a heavy metal you are pulling around. But eventually when the power steering systems were developed, you could turn with your finger. It's not because the car have changed in size or weight, so to say, but there is a new enablement, ability. The new technology have been infused. So what was a struggle have become an ease. So when we labor so much, most times it's because the things that should be added to facilitate and fast-track the operations of the Spirit are lacking. And one of the cardinal things that should be added to fast-tracking the operation of the Spirit in our lives is understanding. And you see that we struggle so much because oftentimes the requisite understanding that we need in order to propel the things that are committed to us are not there. So Jesus labored so much with his apostles to create an understanding heart within them. And most of the times when Jesus was angry with the disciples, there were two major reasons in all of the scriptures. The first is for their unbelieving heart. And the second is for their inability to understand. And most times the reason is difficult to understand. The Bible says in Mark chapter 7 verse 13, he said, "You have made the word of God of none effect because of your traditions." So the things you were told, the assumptions you've made over time become a blockage to receiving the pure word of God. So a man who knows that the power of God is resident in him struggles to manifest the power of God. A man who knows he's supposed to be walking in the supernatural, he steps out so much in faith, but it's still difficult to see the results that he believes. So most times our crisis is a crisis of understanding. So Jesus came to the disciples and he breathed on them, and the Bible said, "Open he their understanding that they may understand the scriptures." And the plague was cured. So we'll keep it very basic this morning, so that some of the things that hinders us from walking in these things will be removed. All of us pray, all of us fast, all of us study the word of God. You may even come to a point where you have a prayer partner, you pray together, you study together, but you discover the operation of the Spirit are worlds apart. Most times there are things they know that you do not know. And when we speak about understanding, we are not just talking about filling your minds with so much knowledge, because in the spirit realm is configured in stratas. There are heights, there are layers, there are degrees, and there are intensities. So knowledge, accumulative knowledge about the realm of the spirit or about the person of the spirit, does not necessarily translate to so much benefit. You may notice that people who know so much are full of pride, because knowledge in the kingdom are in degrees, just the way the realm is designed in stratas. A man who knows so much is a man who is broken so much, is a man who is yielded so much. Because apprehension of spiritual truth is not a function of study. Paul said, We are the servants of God. Therefore, we are the stewards of the mysteries of Christ. So, apprehension of secrets in the kingdom is not necessarily a function of so much study. However, it is important for you to study. But what brings the illumination is predicated on well-defined protocols and systems that governs understanding. Because at the basic level, understanding is accumulation of knowledge. But when you want to begin to walk in the supernatural, the first level of knowledge you have, the Bible calls it idol. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, he said, "We are a new creation." We are a new creation. There's no argument about it. He said, "But behold, all things have become new." So the fact of being a new creation may be there, but the awareness may be lacking. So you may quote all the scriptures about the new creation, but you will not have the experience. The word "behold" is the word "idol." It means become aware. You know, there are times when you can hold something in your hand and you are looking for it. So the thing is with you, but you are not aware. So the services that thing is supposed to provide, the possibilities that you will walk in on the strength of that which you have, will be lacking, because you have not become aware. And in this kingdom, the governor of the operation of the spirit realm is called the Holy Ghost. So it is settled within the context of his operation to make you become aware. And that is why before you begin to walk in the spirit, you will learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. Because becoming aware is not a function of the raw materials of the spirit you have. It's a function of the illuminating power of the Holy Ghost. Paul, praying for the Ephesian church, he said he prays for them that the God of knowledge may grant unto them the spirit of wisdom. The word wisdom is Sophia. It means to have a robust knowledge of possibilities.
But he didn't stop there. He said, and revelation. So you may gather the scriptures, but you may not have the revelation. And the word revelation is apocalypse, to open up the unveiling. So when you gather it, the Holy Ghost now unveils. That's when you become aware. So you know about healing, but you are not aware until the apocalypse dimension of the Holy Ghost is activated. And even when the revelation is granted, the Bible still went a bit further. He said that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. The word enlightened is fortizo. It means to illuminate. So you may enter your room, you know the socket is there, you know there is electricity. But because there is no illumination, you are looking for the socket. The socket is the key, but there is no enlightenment. So the Holy Ghost furnished light. That's when you begin to enter the next level of knowledge called epignosis. Then the healing that you talk about, you begin to experience it. You are a prophet by calling. You begin to see the possibilities of demonstrating and manifesting the prophetic, because you have yielded to a level where you don't only get aware by the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost furnishes light. So you see, when people are arrogant, what they do is that they are shutting the spirit realm away from themselves. They pray, they fast, they retreat, but there's no manifestation. The revelation, the experience of God. When we talk about the spirit realm, these basic things, we need to know them, and they will become the governing factors that regulate our lives. There are three things I'll be sharing with us. The vessel. The virtue and the protocol. You need to know the virtue, you need to know the vessel, and you need to know the protocol. The virtue has never been the problem, because the virtue, the availability of the virtue, is not the function of the vessel. The virtue was made available. So the healing power has never been the problem. You can never produce it. You don't know how it is produced, and you don't know the systems by which it is made, the substance of power. You don't know it. It is a function of the divine to make available the virtue. But there are things that the vessel must have in order for the virtue to flow. And there are laws that the virtue must align with for the virtue to flow. If the vessel does not align with the laws and the protocols, the virtue will not flow. So even though the virtue is available, the vessel will not manifest. So the virtue is available, the vessel is available, but the protocol is violated, then the manifestation will be lacking. And then there could be times when the virtue is available, the protocol is known, but the vessel is deficient, so the manifestation is not available. So the problem is always with the vessel and with the protocol. There are many that don't know the protocol, even though their vessels are ready. And there are many that know the protocol, but their vessels are not ready. So they cannot walk in the supernatural. In order to walk in the supernatural, there must be a balance between virtue, vessel, and protocol. So this morning we'll talk about the virtue. And when we are done talking about the virtue this morning, in the evening we'll talk about the vessel and the protocol. The last night is what will be the icing on the cake. So that night I will come with the garment of fire. The last night I will come as a revivalist, because I want to talk to you about priesthood intelligence. Because if you don't understand the way of priesthood in this kingdom, you'll not be very effective. There are six levels of relationship with God. The first level of relationship with God is as a servant. So all of us were falling into sin. We have no inheritance with God. So the goal of a servant is to please the will of his master. On the strength of his pleasing the will of his master, the master, on account of benevolence, can afford him certain things. So he doesn't have rights. When you begin to please the will of the master, then the master makes you a disciple. That's the second level of relationship.
then he begins to teach you his ways. That's when a servant begins to gain mastery. Some of the things that he was summoned into and he was not granted access to know how it works, when he becomes a disciple, the master begins to show him, do this, and you will have this. So many people are just disciples. They've not traveled enough, deeper enough in God. All of us are children of God. Listen, we are all children. But in functional, experiential relationship, there are levels. The Bible said the heir, so long as he's a servant, differeth nothing from so long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, even though he be Lord of all. That's Galatians 4:1. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he said, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That one is not a child. That one is called huos. He has understanding because he has grown. That one the father can commit responsibility to. And in verse 16, he said, the Spirit of the Father is in us. Therefore, we cry, Abba, Father. The word is technon. That one speaks of being born of God biologically, like a biological birth. So you are an offspring of God. But an offspring of God could be a child. When he's a child, he's a servant. So even though the kingdom belongs to him, he cannot apprehend anything because he doesn't know how it works. If the father sees that he's beginning to grow, then the father makes him a disciple. That's when he learns to submit his will to the father. You know, I was a football fan. They called me Sky White. So those days we knew nothing. The things we knew we were called of God. So we'll go out and say we are this, we are that. But we were just making a mess of our lives until I heard a man of God spoke. And then I decided to learn the ways of God. I became a disciple. And then he began to teach me the ways of prayer. He said, for your soul to be able to touch power, there is a height in the spirit where power is navigated. Because there are things, I said, the realm is designed at different strata. You see, you can come for a meeting, you are full of power. The first day you manifest the power. The second day you come, you do the same thing, nothing will happen. Because your soul did not ascend, so you can't touch it. They say you are a man of utterance. Everything you want to say, you are talking intelligently, but you can't transmit virtue because it operates at a height. So the Holy Ghost began to teach me. Say, for you to operate certain things, your soul must ascend. And what makes the soul to ascend is prayer. So even the knowledge you have, the data you have in your mind, we count for nothing. You'll be talking, it will be dry. Unless by prayer, your soul gain ascendancy in the spirit. Wow. Is this how it works? Say yes. He said, you need to tame your flesh by fasting and prayer. He said, when you tame your flesh, all of those things are called the way of the disciple. He begins to teach you how this realm works. So you don't just read scripture and come and say, you talk this. When people finish, they say, okay, well done. Nobody will be transformed because you don't have the capacity to communicate virtue. Because virtue is in the realm. You are all science-oriented people here. You know electrons operate at high energy, different energy levels. There's an energy level where power operates. There's an energy level where the prophetic operates. So you can be a prophet, but you can't flow in word of knowledge. Unless you tap into that energy level, there are systems in the spirit that makes you to ascend to those heights. Those are the things he teaches the disciples. It's a level of relationship for a child of God. And then you come to the point where you become a friend. It is the friend that knows the secret. The disciple understands the laws. The friend knows the secret. He said, you are no longer servant. You have become friends. Therefore, you know the secrets of the kingdom. There are many who are not friends of God. They know everything, but the secrets are like the unlocking tools. It's like the key. It's the key. So God tells you, you come for a meeting. You have obeyed all the laws of healing. Then that day you came for the meeting. And then the Holy Ghost say, sing Hosanna in the highest. That day, it's not your faith that will work. That's the thing that will unlock the healing power. But you don't know the secret. Have you seen men of healing? Pastor Chris will walk up to one person, cast that devil. He walked to another person, just hold the person and say he's free. He walks to another person, say be healed. It's called secrets. Those ones are for the friends that have the ear. Their ear is in the mouth of God. They are levels of intimacy. Many Christians are not his friends. They are organic realities. We can come and teach you faith and show you scriptures. Then you go and meditate on it. You meditate for 10 years. Nothing will happen. Kenneth Hagin said, if he comes for a meeting and his right tongue becomes numb, the healing anointing is there. It's called secret. He also had faith for healing like you and I. but there is a secret. When this tongue becomes numb, what happens? There's the healing anointing. You see, Dr. Paul comes for a meeting. Sometimes he go and carry the sax and begin to blow. And then people are rising from which here. It's called the secret. It's for people who are friends of God. It's a level of relationship. And then when you journey past that level, then you begin to walk as a son. A son is a man who has grown in authority, so the father can commit responsibility. That's why you see, that one walks beyond secrets. You see, before David pursues any army, he will need to go and consult with the Urim and the Thummim. The Thummim and the Urim must show him the mind of God before he moves. Say, when the mamre tree move, I've gone ahead. That time he knows he will run, he will overtake, and he will conquer. But when Abraham is going to war, he doesn't need to pray. That's a son. That's a son. He has authority. Those ones, if they speak, heaven backs them. If you are not a son, when you see Bishop Oyedepo come and say, don't go and do the same thing in your meeting, you will have accident. I tell you the truth. my brother. Don't go and say, come on. No. Wait. Follow the Holy Ghost until you get there. Because the Bible says, until the time appointed of the Father. It is the Father that determines when you come into sonship. The time. Many of us are on that journey. We are disciples at this level because we have not even become friends. Because there are many times you go to a dry place, you shake yourself like this, nothing will happen. Then you kneel down and begin to sing in worship. Well, see, most of the things we do is not because we are humble, we are helpless. You say, this service is a power service. And then you came like this, and then your soul refused to ascend. I prayed for 5 hours, your soul refused. Then you kneel down. You are speaking in tongues. The reason this tongue is elongated in that service is not because you want to pray. The guy is looking for mercy. He's finding mercy. It's a way of wisdom. You don't know these things, but you can't flow. I tell you, that's why you will wait in God's presence for long. Because these things are not read. They are revealed. They are revealed. They are revealed. They are not read. You wait in the presence for long. It's a system. When you stay there, it works you. It works you. The proof that you have knowledge is that knowledge transforms you. And then you become a revelation, a proof, a testament of that knowledge. Walking in the supernatural is not a law you read and follow. It's a life that regulates your dealing and every day of your living. It's a way of wisdom. But when a man comes into sonship, there are two ways of demonstrating sonship in this kingdom. It's not more than two, it's only two. One of it is priesthood, the other one is kingship. One is priesthood, the other one is kingship. It's as a king that you rule over the affairs of your father. You reign in his kingdom. As a priest, you service and serve the will of God. Those are the two ways of demonstrating sonship. So we'll talk about priesthood intelligence. But for this morning, let's see the virtue. We need to keep it calm to talk virtue. If not, we'll miss a lot of things. I want to show you things that you practice. Because in this life, you will practice this thing. They are not necessary. Even the ones you receive by impartation, you will practice them. That's the difference between much faith and strong faith. When you have so much muscles and you don't exercise, you'll be an obese person. But the other guy doesn't need so much muscle. When he lifts weight every day, he will come and jack the fat guy like this and throw him away. It's much faith and strong faith. So I will show you so that you practice. And then your faith will become strong. Your spirit man will be strong. Are we together? We can't talk about the virtue unless we talk about the one that communicates the virtue, who is the Holy Spirit. Because when we talk about the virtue, we are talking about the overflow of his life. The things that are communicated from his life. That's what we call virtue. It is the outflow of the essence of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Ghost is a person. And if you don't know him as the person, there are many errors you will walk in a bid to serve him. And those errors may disqualify your service. So it's important for you to know the person and how to relate with him before you know how to maximize the virtue. Because a lot of people are pursuing after the virtue, not the person. The virtue is an overflow from the person. So the person is more important than the virtue. I know a lot of people who are pursuing power, pursuing a lot of things, but they don't have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. Even when they go to fast, because they heard if you speak in tongues every day for long, after some time, power will begin to move. They are speaking in tongues. They don't even care about the Holy Ghost. When they finish speaking in tongues, the Holy Ghost is saying, wait. They have gone. They have gone for many other business. So the Holy Ghost wants to talk. They don't hear him. So they don't know him. So the moment they begin to move in word of knowledge, the next thing they say, kai, you need to service this altar. Bring a prophetic seed. When you bring seed, it will stir the anointing. They don't know the person. You need to know. Jesus will help us. Jesus. You know, we are young people, so these things sometimes will become the cardinal aspect of our contemplations, so that we don't end up missing God. Paul wrote a lot of exploits in the kingdom, and he cried. He said that he will not be disqualified. You can make others qualify, but you become disqualified. They hear you, they repent, and they walk in righteousness. Meanwhile, you are carrying a weight of sin. And you say, Lord, we have mercy. Lord, we have mercy. Meanwhile, somebody has heard you, and the spirit of righteousness engulfed the person. It's possible to train people to become mighty in God. You will be small. You know the principles, you never engage them. And the people you told, the little you know, they engage it and become mighty. Well, let's look at these things very calmly. The person of the Holy Ghost. The person. Usually when you begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, after some time, the anointing seeps into your soul. But we will forbid every temptation, so that you get the points and carry them and practice them. In fact, my goal for this service is for the service to be done, so that you will hear the principles, you will write it, and then you will practice it meticulously. I may not go so deep in talking about the Holy Spirit, because it's not a theological class. This is not the doctrine of pneumatology, and it's not the doctrine of the Trinity. So I'm not going to expand so much on so many things. But the few things I want to mention are the things that will help you to release your faith. There are things that will help you to relate with the Holy Ghost. Not necessarily to exegize his person, because the idea is not to get so much knowledge for debate. The idea is for you to become a demonstrator of the life of God. The idea is for you to become a witness of who God is, not for you to become a theological expert. Are we together? So some of the little things I'll be picking would be to reveal certain dimensions that will help you to build your faith. The first thing we know about the Holy Spirit is that he's the third person of the Godhead, right? And we all know that he is co-equal with the Father, and he's co-equal with the Son. That's a debate. Everybody knows that, right? He's co-equal with the Father, co-equal with the Son. So many times the scriptures is used interchangeably. In Genesis chapter 1, the word Elohim was used. And the Bible said, the Spirit was hovering upon the waters, and God said, let there be light. So God the Father, he spoke the word, and the Spirit made it happen. So they've always existed in perfect harmony as co-equal beings. Jesus said in John chapter 3 verse 17, he said, the work of the Father I must do. And in chapter 14 verse 10, he said, the Father that is in me, he doeth the work. So the Father he was serving is the God of heaven that sent him, because he said in the volume of the books, it is written of me, I come to do thy will. He was referring to God the Father in heaven. But the Father in him that was doing the work was the Holy Ghost. Because we know that in Romans chapter 6 verse 4, the Bible said it was the Spirit that brought him back to life from the dead. So every work Jesus was doing was the Holy Ghost. But Jesus equated the Holy Spirit and the Father. So the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Son are co-equal. That's not a debate. But the reason I had to raise it is so that you will know the authority of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost has perfect authority over your life and everything you do. The authority over your life is not resident with the Father. It's resident with the Godhead. So any of the Godhead you are relating with part-time has absolute authority over you. So when we try to emphasize the co-equalness of the Holy Spirit with the Father and the Son, we are trying to make reference to his authority. So you will know that he owns your life. He is Lord and Master over your life. Everything Jesus is to you, everything the Father is to you, is the same thing the Holy Ghost is to you. I think that would trigger some level of reverence for some of us that when the prayer meeting the other day, stretching for some hours in tent, and then this lady was just on bubble gum. chewing. I was like, is this lady okay? What kind of thing is this? After she chewed for some time, she went and sat down like this and was fanning herself. I was chewing, but I couldn't hold it. My spirit was grieved. I don't know if I was wrong. I've not checked the doctrine, but I was after the meeting. I said, come. I took her somewhere because I didn't want to break her spirit. I said, what's with this? If you are talking with Apostle Aaron, can you be chewing bubble gum like that? Because I wanted to know her position. Because if you say certain things now, she says she doesn't want to sleep. I say, when you are talking with Apostle Arome, can you chew bubble gum like that? If you can't chew bubble gum like that because you feel it's disrespectful, then you should know it is disrespectful chewing it before the. What's that? What kind of irreverence? They don't care. If you know that the indwelling spirit is co-equal with the Father, you will couple yourself. So we do like this and say, Father, I love you. When you go to talk to your father, is that how you talk to your father? See, you need to be honest to yourselves when you relate with God. Yes, a wise man can sit like this. They talk like that. So, unconsciously, by omission, or by reason of their training, it is not wrong. So, when God deals with you, He deals with essence and motives. Essence and motive. If you are raised to relate like that, it can be well understood. But you who is brought up to know, and you are taught, and that's how you process, that this thing like this means arrogance, and you do like this before God is arrogant, because essentially that's how you think it. That is the logic of your training and coupling. Chewing bubble gum. What you can't do before another man that you hold at high esteem, you can do comfortably before God. You don't know that the Holy Ghost is co-equal with the Father. If you know He's co-equal with the Father, it will affect your disposition. He speaks of His absolute authority. A lot don't know it. For you to walk in the supernatural, you must know that the Holy Ghost is Lord over the spirit realm. He is the fabricator of the spirit realm. He determines what runs in the spirit realm. The way Jesus is the administrator of the purposes of God, the Holy Ghost is the governor of the spirit realm. Nothing happens in the spirit realm unless He permits it. Even if Jesus speaks to you, He can't change your life unless the Holy Ghost animates it. He makes the spirit realm works. Without the Holy Ghost, the spirit realm collapses. As we go further, I will show you a lot of things. I don't want to go ahead of myself. I will explain some of these things as we go further. We said it's a spirit. Right? So as a spirit, you need to understand. I told you I'm picking all of these things to determine, to regulate your interaction with Him. I'm not just picking them because I want to talk about the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. Okay? When we say He's a spirit, you should know that His operations are different from your own operation. That's the first thing that comes to mind. For a spirit, for you, for example, you may say you know the theology, but human beings have their own well-determinant essence. For you, for example, what you call love is affection. So no matter how somebody deceives you that he loves you, if you don't see the affection, you say, no. Person doesn't care for you. He doesn't show affection. You say, no. A point will come, whatever has to give you, you will say, no, keep it. And most times, if you don't have affection for somebody, it's a struggle. Because humankind, mortality, defines love on the strength of affection. But spirits call love obedience. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. There's nothing about affection. In that relationship, at some point, it will impact your emotion, but he's not looking at your emotion. He said, if you love me, keep my commandment. So for a spirit, love is obedience, love is sacrifice. But for mortality, love is affection. That's why they coined so many words for love. The word eros is romance, romantic love. The word filio is friendship love, companionship. The word storge is family kind of love, unconditional companionship that you are bound by a cord you cannot define. But in the spirit context, it's agape, it's sacrifice. So when you know the Holy Ghost is a spirit, then you realize that it's in another realm. You need to put away everything you know and learn of him. Because what you think may be words apart from what he's thinking. So anybody who doesn't make it a conscious practice to find out how God thinks and works cannot relate with him. You know, we are talking about ministering in the supernatural. Because you can come for a meeting and think because the people have prayed and they are shouting and they are crying, you will say, Holy Ghost, touch, be healed. When you call for testimony, then you will discover nobody was healed. Because the Holy Ghost did not judge the flow of power by the people's crying. You see people praying like this, then you say, this is the right time, this is the right time. Then you come, you say, touch, touch. Then the people will now stand like this. Amen, amen. Some are doing like this, amen. It is not their disposition that determines the flow of power. There is a way spirits operate. You will study them and you will be their servants forever. You were designed to be a servant in this kingdom. I tell you, my brother, when I hear of the Lord doctrine of freedom, you don't know what freedom is. In this kingdom, freedom is obedience to the will of God. The will of God is the boundary of freedom. Freedom is defined by the will of the Father. When you walk within the context of the will of the Father, that's when you are free. Because you cannot be free. The reason is because you were designed to be completed by spirits. Every time you step out of the will of the Father, another spirit possesses you. Freedom is not in the spirit context. There's nothing like freedom. What really have freedom are spirits. So every time for you to be complete, the spirit must possess you. So when you really want to be free, you will come under the government of the Father. When you are under the government of the Father, that's when you are free. And what we call freedom is actually freedom from the influence of other spirits. But if you are not under the government of the Father, you are a slave of another spirit. You may not know it. You heard something, you say, I like this girl. You didn't know that it was a demon that was whispering to your left ear. You come and say, the girl is a good girl. That your argument that you are propelling, it was a demon that was whispering to you. The logic you are creating in your mind, you think you are... I told them something when I was in Igbenidion last week. You see a guy giving logic how he should do what he wants to do. Meanwhile, this guy can't pass him 111. You are so intelligent to determine the protocol and the sequence of life, and you can't pass. So you have this level of memory. You sit down, and then you sat down like this, and then you thought about that lady that was in the crowd. She smiled at you. So you can retain like that. Out of 10 people, a lady just smiled, and you remember that she smiled. Wow! So you have this level of magnetic brain, and you are getting D in your courses. You are not wise. A spirit brought that picture and the whole atmosphere and whispered it to you and revealed the possibilities. All of the dynamics going on in your mind were activities of spirits. But you didn't know that spirits regulate and influence humankind. So you thought you are being intelligent. Then you now begin to think, should I chat her on Facebook or WhatsApp or call her? Okay, if I call her, say hello, how are you doing? You didn't know that it was a sequence of spirit intelligence that were navigating in your direction. You are not in this kingdom. There's nothing like freedom. The will of the Father is the perimeter of freedom. When you walk there, you are free. If you walk outside of that, you are in bondage. So when you know a spirit is a spirit, you study his ways. You master his acts and you find out what is in his mind. If you don't know what is in his mind, you are lost. I told them something. I said, most people who are not regulated by God, they are like a balloon floating. They are floating around. You know, you want to be free in this world. If you are free in this world, you will float into space. Because what keeps you here is the force of gravity. And you will pray to not to be free. Because the day you become completely free, you will float like this and enter space. We talk free. When you begin to define things like freedom, find out the context you are talking about. What's the context? If it is about living, freedom is the will of the Father. If it's about existence, there are many contexts. For example, pray never to be free from the law of gravity, because we find you in Pluto. And that time, cold would have killed you. Apostle Colin. Colin is a man of prayer now. At least you, the Holy Ghost, should have whispered some of these things to you in the place where you enter the third heaven. Do you know where your thoughts go to? What if you travel in the same direction with your thoughts? Yeah, I want to be free. Do you know what freedom is? Funny. Dear Lord Jesus.
So if he's the Spirit of God, then you know he has the basic attributes of God, like being omniscient, he knows all things. But since we are not talking theology, what's the significance of his omniscient nature? What's the significance? The first thing it informs is confidence. So you know he knows all about you. He knows all about your future. He knows all about your plans. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That's because he's omniscient. There are over 8 billion of us, but he knows. All the sequences of activities and events you will carry out in the next 10 years, he knows. So when you go, you know you are in the hands of a secured one. So every time you walk, what you want to find out is his mind concerning you, because he knows the end. That's why he's called Alpha Omega. The word is not Alpha and Omega. It means beginning, end. That means he's beginning at the same time, he's end at the same time. It's not just that he's at the beginning and at the end at the same time. He's actually beginning, he's also end. So he is the time boundaries, he is also the reality. So God knows tomorrow. And he knew tomorrow from day before yesterday. So if you were wise day before yesterday, you'd have asked him about tomorrow. So the mistakes you made today, you wouldn't have made them. He's omniscient. He informs confidence. He knows everything. Are we together? And the second thing it does is that it informs the consciousness of righteousness. Righteousness. He knows your thoughts. He knows your actions. He knows your imaginations. You know, most of these things cannot even be regulated by discipline. So what do you do? If he knows my imaginations, if my imaginations want to go wrong, then I'll say, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. I'm beginning to think about gambling. Help me. If you don't help me, Lord, please help me. Help me. He say what? Righteousness consciousness. Righteousness consciousness proceeds from your understanding of the fact that the Holy Spirit is omniscient. So you can't play gimmicks around him. You know, I can be watching something that I'm not supposed to watch. And when you are coming into the room, quickly I'll just minimize and go back to home page. And because you didn't see it, I'll stand up and say, oh boy, the encounter I get yesterday night. It's not the Holy Ghost, my brother. When you thought of doing that thing, he was already aware. When you were doing it, he was aware. The lie you will tell is aware. So what do? You sustain a consciousness of righteousness. You put your heart pure before him all the time. When you are weak, you tell him. That's why the Bible said he helpeth our infirmities. He helpeth. He knows. He helpeth. Romans 8:26. He said the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities. He said, for we know not what we should pray. That's one. You don't even know what there is to be done. And in case you know what there is to be done, you don't know how it should be done. And if you know how it should be done, you don't know as much as that how should be done for that to be achieved. I was telling them the other day, I said, you may wake up and say, I have interview tomorrow. Lord, give me favor. Oh, give me favor. That's a very good prayer. Or you even declare as a king, I'm favored. As I go there, they pick me. That's beautiful. There's a place for it. But before you make those decrees, find out what is in his mind. Because that tomorrow, on your way to interview, you will pass through a junction at 9:14 a.m. And that is when the trailer will crush the car. So you don't know what you should pray for. Your prayer at that time is not interview. Because perhaps you already have the favor. Maybe you are the only person that applied. But you didn't even know. The prayer you should be praying is to pass that junction before 9:14 a.m. Because even though you are already taken for the job, you will die before you get there. You don't know. You don't know what you should pray for. And even if you know that, guy, I will have accident tomorrow, you still need his help. Because you don't know the volume of prayer that will avert that accident. You don't know the supply of virtue that will avert that accident. So you may pray for 2 hours and say, Kai, I sense a note of victory. There were 3 accidents. It's one you have handled. My brother, see, if you know how the realm works, you know that our call is perpetual dependence on God. Men who live are men who are yielded. The day your yieldedness ends, you are living a risk. It informs a confidence mentality and a consciousness mentality. That's what the omniscient nature of the Holy Ghost should do to you. I know a lot of you that do all kinds of things, because that consciousness is not there. That time you were wearing that bomb shirt to go for the party, he knows. Nobody may see you because you are now serving in Maiduguri and When you check the camp, you are the only person from Benue. So nobody knows. But your life is not, your marking scheme is not on earth, it's in heaven. And the one that is seeing everything is already marking. So we stop fooling ourselves. Also, he is omnipresent. When you know he's omnipresent, it takes away fear. The omniscient nature gives confidence, it gives a consciousness mentality. The omnipresent nature takes away fear. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 23, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul." He said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil." Why? Because the Lord is with me. If the Lord is with me, I will go through the fire. If the Lord is with me, nothing can make me tremble. Because I know that he fashioned creation by his own hands. I know that his presence there alone have sorted out the problem. The reason most people fear is because they are not really conscious that God is with them in the matter. You become afraid when you are not sure of your defense system. Do you know why you sleep in your house and you snore? You are sure the security is intact. If they tell you the night before you sleep that Boko Haram are coming and that they are already in Wurukun, and then you hear an explosive, that night you will run from Wurukun and cross the river. Sleep will vanish. You that say, "I can't wake up in the night and pray." By 2 a.m. you still be speaking in tongues and running like this. Kaba, 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 kaba. So people fear when they are not sure of their defense system. See, all of these little things, right? These are the many things that culminate together when you see a man stand with confidence and is commanding the supernatural. You go and say, faith. You read the laws of faith you are practicing. You don't know there are lots of things that makes for walking in the supernatural. A man who has assurance. Don't joke with him. A man who has assurance. But it's a man that knows that God is with him. If you don't know God is with you, it will be difficult to have assurance. Because you may say you are sure you are not afraid. The first challenge. How many of you have traveled before and the driver just stamp on the brake? Jesus. Without Jesus, you are calling. It's actually fear. That's what you are saying. Because what traffic for your mind in the spirit realm is fear. It's a dark cloud. And the demons can... There's a frightful man in this car. You know, sometimes the reason we emphasize certain things is so that you practice it. There's a way your mind works. Your mind is a processor. When he hears something over time, he begins to believe it. Even unconsciously. It's a processor. Somebody said something. Most of you are doctors. You know what I'm saying. The guy said, when you speak, he said, your inner ear seems to hear you differently from what your outer ear is hearing. And he said, that's why if you talk on a mic, or maybe you talk to a phone, you record it. When you play it, you now say, now my voice be that. The one you are hearing for yourself is what your inner ear is speaking. He said that imbues faith faster than anything. So it's wise for you to be telling yourself some of these things. Because it's going to reconfigure the structure of your soul. You know, the psalmist said, "Thou restoreth my soul." It will reconfigure your soul structure. But you don't hear it. It may not form a consciousness mentality. You need to sometimes tell yourself, "God is with me. God is with me." Some of us are so conscious of demons, so conscious of Satan. You just had a pain on your tummy and say, "Kai, these people don't come from village. Who are the people? You don't know them." But that's what you were told. And it has formed your consciousness. You hit your leg on the stone, you say, "Kai, I hit this leg 3 times. That means there's a challenge. Because I hit the leg 3 times. And the 3 days that I hit the leg is by 9 a.m. It can't be a coincidence. We never think positive. We are wired to think negation. And to make things worse, somebody has said your brain thinks negatively in order to give you a security consciousness for safety. He said that's why if you hear a sound here, you think it's a bomb, so that you can quickly take action for your safety. He said that's how the brain works. And you know the social media, they know it. That's why most of the multinational companies, they sell bad news. Because bad news sells. Man is basically selfish. So you hear bad news, you pay attention to it because of your safety. If they tell you something good is happening, it doesn't move you because you can't see your benefit. But if they say, guy, there's a bomb in Makurdi, you say, where is the bomb? What time? What time? You are not interested in the bomb, it's your safety. And you are wired like that. So you need to pay, you need to labor to reprogram your soul. And one of the things you will always carry is that God is with me. Paul said, the one whom I serve and whose I am. What informed that level of confidence in the midst of a ship that is sinking? How can he be so fearless? Because there was awareness that God was there. The moment you know that God is with you, it takes a lot of fear away. It takes a lot of fear. So the Holy Ghost is omnipresent. He is also omnipotent. The omnipotence dimension of the Holy Ghost is what informs faith. You who are doctors, you know this one better than anybody. And we who are not doctors, we also know it much more than you. You are lying at home, you are sick. They say, don't worry, you'll be fine. Your father will tell you 10 times, you'll be fine. Then they now say, thank God, doctor, don't come. Then the doctor say, he do like this. He has not done it. He say, no, it's not a serious thing, you'll be fine. Instantly, 50% relief will come. Because you know it's what? It's doctor, and he touch you like this. He touch you like this. Say, you'll be fine. That's how your system works. And then, if they say, he's a consultant, Jesus, you will stand up. You that was doing like this, they say, no, he's a consultant. Then the consultant will look at you like this. I say, okay. No. It's not. Don't worry, it'll be okay. Bring up. Then the guy will then call. Say, yes, I've been defeated somehow, but are they strong now? Which drug have you taken? You know the abilities of the one that have what? Spoken. That's why he said, they that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. It's not necessarily because they have received anything yet. They that do what? No. If you know the all-powerful God is willing, it goes a long way. So the knowledge of the omnipotent dimension of God, it suffices a lot of faith. You are a mist of fire, and the Holy Ghost say, it is well. If you don't know the Holy Ghost, you still look for other alternative. That's why most of you are looking for help, and God tells you, say, it's done. I say, yes, so God tell me something, but you are still calling your uncle. Please, you are looking for story. You don't know he is omnipotent. You know, you can convince yourself and say, I know the doctrine, and you are quoting the scripture. You know, the Holy Ghost comes, say, I have provided your wife. Follow me. The guy is 25. The next thing he goes to any meeting, he's checking like this, looking at the gear, checking the gears. Which one can fit into my calling? Okay, this one have good character. You don't know the omnipotent one. But because if you know him, even in the wilderness, you know he can command the wind to bring the quails. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be in the pit, he will find you. Because he has all the power. And when you have assurance of his power, then it creates faith in your spirit. That's why we preach the gospel. When we preach the gospel, we tell people what God has done for them. You were dead in sin. Because he rose from the dead, you will live again. You say, wow. So it's possible to rise from the dead. You don't even know your mind is processing these things intrinsically. People who are in places where they speak fear all the time, they live in fear. For 10 years, they will give you a history of their battles. History of their battles. And when they call these battles, you will laugh. How that 2 years ago, there was a woman in the village who was doing this and doing this. So he labored in prayer for 3 years. And then the woman went off. And then another one rose. And then he prayed for 4 years. If you need to pray for 4 years for the influence of a witch to leave you, my brother, then you start living when you are 95. Because if you have 10 witches, what will you do? That's why they keep doing deliverance in deliverance ministries. They keep doing it. You come to other places, they tell you have authority. How many times have you gone? I don't want to call churches. But Bishop Wedebo is one of my mentors. If you hear testimonies there, you will run. I'm telling you, you will run. You can't even believe they are real. In Makurdi here, a young man was driven from the house. And he went to his uncle's place and his uncle pushed him out. And this guy is a student. And then while he was walking on the road, he was emitting energy in the spirit. His thoughts that were going to heaven, where he knew he could not be stranded. He's not trying to persuade himself. He's not trying to psych himself. The guy has heard so much that he's the son of a lion. and they can never be stranded. He was moving with that thought and saying it as if he was looking for the devil to kill. That time you will be calling all your friends that you remember. This guy, what you say, is living alone. I heard he told me 4 months ago. And they start checking his number on Facebook and on Instagram. That was the time somebody else was releasing an energy. And it was altering the spiritual climate. Everything, the forces of nature began to work in his favor. He said, I can't. He's not psyching himself. This thing have redefined his soul structure. I cannot be stranded. Not me. Because he said, 1,000 shall fall by my side, 10,000 by my right hand. He shall not come near. He shall not. Sometimes they can't complete it. The thing is so much. The energy is so much. And while he was yet talking, somebody met him on the road and said, why is he talking like that? I said, well, there's a little challenge. Little challenge? You don't have a place to say it's little challenge. I heard a story how that Olocha was going to Abuja to see Dr. Pastor Paul, and the car was assaulted and damaged beyond repair. And God called him, said, immediately the man of God picked it, called him, what's happening? He said, there's a little challenge, but it's on his way. Car tumbled 3 times. It's a little challenge. it's a consciousness of rulers. All of us have the same problems. Our approach to it is what makes the difference. All of us. The son of a king. What happened? The man said, come. He gave the guy 2 flats. One of them is uncompleted, the other one is fully completed. He said, take it. He didn't say, leave here, take it. Can you believe that testimony in Makurdi? Are there people in Makurdi that dash 2 flat? You can't even believe it. You can't. You can't. But that was what happened. He said, take. He gave him 2 buildings. One uncompleted, one complete. The guy became a landlord. In less than 24 hours, a stranded man became a landlord. This is not talking positive talking. That's not what I'm telling you. This is giving expression, vocal expression to your reality. Because by meditation over truth, you have become over time. I was talking with colleagues the other time. I said, no, we can't fail. What? Medicine, the other people are trembling. For first semester, they are running like this. They say, no. I say, stop praying the way you are praying. You put yourself in trouble. Your school is your primary assignment. If you pray for 1 hour every day, you are good. He said, no, haba. 2 weeks to exam. That's when he goes. He said, if he's reading and he's doing like this, by 2 weeks, the hair will become flat. Because he has stayed there 2 weeks. The guy said, he can't fail. This is not, he's not psyching himself. He believes he's a genius. And it's not because he's really a genius. That's his mentality. So the book bows to him. But people that walk like this, there is something they know. And one of the things they know is that their God is all powerful. But there's nothing he goes through. Somebody is dying, he say, I can't be sick. Men like Pastor Chris, they will say, I can't. They were laughing at them. And they were not just going to talk. Like some of us, when there's problem, we start talking. No. Even when there's no problem, they are building their soul structure. They say, this is who they are. This is sometimes if you see people pray, you'll be amazed. You think they are fighting. You don't know what they are doing. They are redefining their mindset. See, today, Pastor Chris Akilomi wants to preach. He wears white boxer and white singlet. Because clothes is a problem. And he's telling himself, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm anointed. Anybody I touch is healed. Over time, eventually his life has become a proof. You need to tell yourself that your God is all powerful. And because it's all powerful, no challenge from anywhere can shake you. Until it becomes real to you, you can't express it as a reality. The problem with most of us is that we want to give expression to what is not real to us. You need to tell yourself that God is all powerful and He is with you. That's how we interact with the Holy Ghost every day. We thank Him for who He is. But there are lots of Christians, they don't even know anything about these things. And this is not psyching people to go and start talking things. No. This is telling people to build themselves so that this becomes their present hour reality. Why do they call you a doctor? Are you a doctor? Over time, they have furnished the discipline into you. You can't think otherwise. If somebody says he's bitten by mosquito, before you think, the whole symptom have downloaded in your mind. the cause, the everything, the possibilities. If it's not treated, this is what will happen. Every in a second. That's how you think. It has become your vista of seeing the world. God is all powerful. A lot of people don't know. And their actions always prove that they really don't know. Because when they are in crisis, you see their action. It's a sign that they don't know. Are we going to go anywhere this morning? I've not entered my message. I want to talk about virtue. Okay, let me assume you know all these things. Let's talk about virtue. You see, I told you these things are very basic. But if you check your life, you don't know them. You see, Kenneth Hagin said something. He said, don't bother about growth. Be eating every day. If you eat every day, you will just discover you are growing. One day you wear your shirt, it's a jumper. Your trouser is a jumper. What happened? You can't wear your shoe anymore. You have grown. And then there are certain foods you eat every day. Is it, how do you call it? Is it basic diet? What's the word now? Balanced diet. You won't come and say, Kai, I started eating rice when I was a child, so I will not eat rice again. I will not eat yam. You will die. You eat it every day. You keep eating it. You keep eating it. You keep eating it. You keep eating it. They look simple, but you eat it until it will become your essence. So when we check your body, it is the constituent of yam that is also in your body. You have become one with what you eat. That's why you were made of the word of God. So you eat it until you become, you are one with it. When we check your body, everything you are is what is in the yam, is what is in the beans. They are simple, but they must define you. Else you have crisis. It's not positive thinking I'm teaching. I'm teaching you how to reconfigure the way you think and see. Because the way you think and see will determine the way you operate in the supernatural. That's why you see people who always think evil, think demons. Every time, even if they are giving word of knowledge, 90% of them is about death, is about demons, is about this, about that. People who always think positivism, blessings, prosperity. Every time they give word of knowledge, it's about the person God is blessing. God is giving the car. But the way you think and see is what determines how you operate in the spirit realm. So we can't jump and begin to talk about interacting with the spirit until we reconfigure our vistas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody learning something. These are things you practice every day. He's the spirit of truth. If you know he's the spirit of truth, then you can yield to him to guide you. You know, Jesus said something. He said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot receive it now. He said, how be it, when the spirit of truth is come, he will guide. He will guide. John 16:13. He will guide you into all truth. So, the guidance ministry of the Holy Spirit is predicated on the fact that he is the truth. And when we speak truth, we speak reality. Everything that is the substance of reality is called truth. We are not talking true. I know you know the difference already. Most of you are Apostle Aramis students. We are talking substance of reality. You know, something can be true, but it cannot be truth. When we say something is truth, we mean it holds the same value in the spirit realm. For example, you can be sick now, but in the spirit realm you are not sick. Because the records in heaven is that by his stripes you were healed. So when the preacher comes and says, be healed, what he's proclaiming is your reality in the spirit. Are you there? You know, Pastor Chris told a strange story. Said those days when he was building, still growing in the healing anointing. Sometimes they see visions before they go for meetings. The Holy Ghost instructs them on what to do and all of that. And they were learning. Until a point came, he came for a healing meeting. And the Holy Ghost stood by him and said, look at this man. And he looked at the man. The man had a plaque that he had cancer. And the cancer was grown somewhere around his body. I can't remember. But when he looked at the man, he didn't see any cancer. He said, And he was talking with the Holy Ghost in the spirit. What is this? And the Holy Ghost said, that is his reality. He said, you now go and administrate it. Go and enforce that reality. This is what the devil is making him be. But this is what I have made him to be. I have made him to walk in divine health, to be healed. But the devil is making him to be sick. You are now the middleman. So bear witness. So Pastor Chris will now bear witness to truth. Even though he sees the man with cancer, he will say, be healed. Because truth is what is real in the spirit. And as witnesses, we enforce it in the natural. This is not denial of fact. But this is refusing fact to hold sway as against reality in the spirit. And that's the job we are called to do as witnesses. So truth, the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. And if you know he's the spirit of truth, you can yield to him to guide you. That's why when you are sick, you turn to him. When you are confused, you turn to him. When you are afraid, you turn to him. Because you know truth in the spirit is what God says. And he's the one to lead you there. So you yield to the Holy Ghost to guide you because he is the spirit of truth. He is the spirit of life. When we say his life, we mean he is the substantiator of essence. The substantiator of essence. He is the one that animates spiritual possibilities. I told you something. Without the Holy Spirit, the word of God will be of none effect. You can be full of the word of God, but if the Holy Ghost doesn't substantiate it, it will not mean so much. Even the name of Jesus will be useless without the Holy Spirit. That's why demons call the name. The Bible said the seven sons of Sceva, they say, Jesus, I know. That's why most times we call the name, we are in faith. We say, we are in faith. We are calling it, we are not. Because if we are in faith, we'll be in the Spirit. He's the one that substantiates spiritual realities. You know, you may even have a revelation from God. And it will not come to pass. God tells you, you are a prophet, and you begin to tell everybody. If you don't have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, he will not substantiate that reality. So you will call yourself a prophet till you are 70. And then people will begin to call you prophet out of respect. Because your age, because of your age. In Matthew 16:16-18. Peter said something when Jesus was trying to pass out a questionnaire and find out what the people felt he was. He said, who do men say I am? And they brought the conclusions of the schools of thoughts. You know, an institution can be so big, without the Holy Ghost, it will be wrong. It doesn't matter the dynasty. It may have lived for 100 years and they may have practiced that thing for 100 years. Time doesn't validate spiritual essence. Status doesn't validate spiritual essence. Only the Holy Ghost does. They say, some say you are Jeremiah's. They some they are talking. It's not a group of people that are just assuming. Those are bodies of truth. The way you have NUC, accrediting universities. Those are bodies of knowledge. Those are the type of people that can come and say, by whose authority are you baptizing? Because in their days, they were the custodians of the oracles of God. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes. These were their conclusions. They have studied the man's life. So, okay, the way this man speaks, it should be Jeremiah. Some say it's John the Baptist. You know, now he moves in power. When he was alive first, he didn't have power. So now he died. He came back from the grave. That's why he had power. So they will use doctrine and validate all they are saying. Say, some say you are this. Some, all of them were wrong. And Peter gave a sentence by the Holy Spirit. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus quickly said something. What has happened to you now is that you have stepped out of the borders of mortality. Where you are talking from now is the regions of immortality. This answer is not within the library of men. You can't find it within the perimeter of mortality. These things are only said, and they are only known by people who can travel beyond the boundaries of mortality. He said, my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed this to you. But that revelation was of none effect. It made no impact. So that you heard from the Father is nothing, because that revelation is nothing. And then the Son now added his own quota. He said, this revelation you have brought now, he said, it's on this revelation the church will be built. This revelation is a strategy that will show how spiritual realities can be bettered in the natural. That means for you to build something in the natural that will last forever, the root of that thing will be in the spirit. So don't start anything in the natural and expect it to be forever unless you catch it from the spirit. So this is a strategy by which the church will be built. The church will be in this world, but the foundation of the church will be in the spirit realm. So what the Father has done is that he has revealed a strategy of immortality to you. Things born in the spirit survive in time, and time have no power to turn them down. That's why he told Paul, it is hard to kick against the bricks. These things were born of the spirit. So if you want to remove them, you will go back to the spirit to remove the root. And this is why Islam will always waste their time. Even if there is one Christian remaining in this world, they cannot appropriate Christianity from the writings of time, because the church is built in the spirit. But even though the Son brought insight, wisdom and instruction, he still didn't produce the church. The only time the church really came alive was when the Holy Ghost came. That is what we mean by life. He's the one that animates spiritual essence. He's the one that substantiates spiritual essence. The Father gave the revelation, the Son explained the revelation, but there was no manifestation. Manifestation is the function of the animating power of the Holy Ghost. So you can know you have a reality. You can know how to demonstrate it. But if the Holy Ghost doesn't animate it, it will not be there. An angel appeared to you and said, I've given you the rod of healing. When you sense your hand vibrating, the oil is on your hand. And then when you are sensed, you now touch the man, I have cancer. The man now die. The Holy Ghost. I'm showing you this thing so that you know how to. Walking in the supernatural is a function of perpetual dependence on the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm trying to explain since. He animates spiritual essence. That's why most times we walk in spiritual realities, we don't even know how we entered it. What God did was that he gave us an instruction, and then he broke us. And when he broke us, we began to manifest certain things. And we now say, where we are going to teach people, we now teach them the excellency of the doctrine. Meanwhile, we practiced these doctrines for 10 years, we didn't see manifestation. We didn't know it was when we were broken and we became obedient and reliant on the Holy Ghost that the substantiating power began to work. When Jesus died, it was the Holy Ghost that brought him back to life. It's called substantiating essence. So you want to go for the healing meeting, pray, it's very important. Fast, it's very important. Study the word. But when you come to minister, rely on the Holy Ghost. That's what makes the difference. Because if it's your prayer that produces it, you can take the credit. The power is not yours. Jesus paid for it. The manifestation is a function of the Holy Ghost. So your prayer will cause your soul to align with the Holy Spirit. Substantiation. He substantiates spiritual reality. That's why a lot of us as things, spiritual things are scarce. We can't see it. You may come and say, it's when they shout, oh, so you want to move in power. You say, pray in tongue. The noise doesn't generate power. It's a supply of the spirit. You now pick a song that looks sorrowful. I need it. Sorrowfulness doesn't generate power. Cancer doesn't vanish. It's a growth. It's an irregular growth. You know it better, doctor. They cut it and threw away. For cancer to dematerialize, sorrowful feeling can't dematerialize cancer. It has to be power. That's why we call people fall down. People fall down. We say we have power. You say, how many people are here? One person come up and say, I was having headache. I don't know whether it's there again. 7 days healing conference. 3 blind men came. All of them went back. But people were falling from day 1 to day 10. And we say, if you see the power for that conference, power. The last time I checked, power is casting out devils. Power is healing. Power is working on miracles. And power is the operation of the gift of faith. So if there is no tangible dimension, there's challenge. And of course, power is also the transforming ability of the Holy Ghost. All the people that came drunk, they went back. That Friday, they are in the club. So they can't even come for the Friday session. Meanwhile, power move on Thursday. But they need to go to club on Friday first. Then on Saturday, they will come back at night. This program is... Even the people in the world know we are deceiving ourselves.
You're in the prayer meeting, say, Baba, da, Baba, Holy Ghost, move now, Holy Ghost. And they are playing basketball court there. Basketball there. With the next week, they are playing basketball. Nobody cares.
Apostle Johnson Suleiman said, he was doing all these things until he got tired. And one day he went, don't worry, when I show you the protocol, that's when we will fly you. He was preaching somewhere and said, kai, kai, kai. He got tired. So he decided to organize a meeting where all the bad guys gather. And while he was preaching, he called somebody's name. The guy said, I'm the one. He said, come. The guy came. He walked away. And he said, who is this person? Who is this person? The guy shouted, it's my brother. He said, this thing is wrong with the person. Hey! The people that were smoking turned. I said, yeah, what did they happen? Meanwhile, the guy was limping, couldn't walk. He now touches, they dropped the thing. Walk in the name of Jesus. The guy began to walk. The other guy was walking towards him. He didn't know there was still cigarette in his mouth. When men see power, they are confounded. You know, most time you try to help preachers. So we do reverence. If you see power, the day you see power, that day you will submit. The Bible said, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to thee. The devil is power, my brother, is power. If you continue like this, you will not go far. Because when you go to London, God opens door for you to preach in London. And then you are saying, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Then they will be looking like this. Somebody is healed. Say, thank you, Lord. I have just been healed. Oh, but nobody will do emotion there with you. It's reality. It's reality. Not this one that you come for power service. The 10 ladies that are falling are the ones that are always falling. The same. My brother. When you begin to grow, you stop deceiving yourself. Because you will really develop a heart for helping humankind. Nowadays, if I go for a meeting, if I want to minister, I say off the keyboard. If the host like is to share his door, I want people healed. I pray. I want demons cast out. I want people transformed. A man who could not pray hears me begin to pray. Hunger for God comes. He dies to sin. If not, we'll be a company of people deceiving ourselves. You have been in church for 10 years. There'll be no change. The only areas you have changed are the areas that you were educated in the secular world. Most of you came here 7 years ago. Now it's natural for you not to be able to sleep at night because you've gone for world round every week. The things that are really tangible in your life are the things that medical science communicated to you. But you've been in the church before you came to study medicine. Are we not deceiving ourselves? They are realities. The Holy Ghost is the substantiator of life. So it's not about the volume. It's not about the strategy. It's about the supply of the Spirit. So you will consciously learn on building the supply of the Spirit. And those are some of the things I will show you when I begin to teach about the protocol of the operation. How to maximize the supply of the Spirit. Because a lot of Christians don't know it. A lot. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's a burden. These things are basic things, and most times we really need to share them. Honestly, we need to share them. This is about the Spirit of God. I've not talked about holy. You know, He's called holy. I'm just trying to explain the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm trying to do before I talk about virtue, but it's difficult now. Alright, let's see how we can speed up. When we say He's holy, there are three major requirements. One is separation. When you know that the Holy Ghost is holy, or you are not just calling Holy Ghost, you are not just calling Holy Spirit. When you know that He's holy, it triggers three things. First is separation. Your revelation of Him as holy is what will separate you from the world. So you know you can't be part of the world and part of Him because He is called holy. The word holy means to be in His own class. To exist unto Himself and in His own world and His own sphere. So you can't have a relationship with Him and have a relationship with the world. He said He is holy because He is satisfied in Himself, being Himself, and all by Himself. He doesn't need mingling. There's another spirit that is called familiar spirit. So He can move, gather tatters from here and there, and touch here, touch there. Not the Holy Spirit. Then another spirit is called foul spirit. So anything that is pollution, He wants to relate with it. There's an unclean spirit. So anywhere there's uncleanness, he wants to go. This one is called holy. So all the time is all by himself. So for you to relate with him and have access to walk in the supernatural, then separation is a must. You separate from the world and you separate unto him. There are two levels. There are people who are separated from the world, but they are not separated unto God. So they wonder why they can't see things happen in their lives. Yes, you are not sinning again. You even talk big about it. You are proud about it. But to what degree are you separated unto the Lord? You don't know he's holy. It's not enough to be separated from the world. It only becomes enough when you are separated unto him. That's why he's called holy. And this is not congregational activity. This is personal, intimate relationship with him. Because you can be in church and be far somewhere. But if you know him and you are separated unto him, you can be in the market yet be in fellowship. It's not a church-based reality. It's an intimacy-based reality. Separation is a cardinal requirement to walk in the supernatural. That's why most times ministers are scarce. You can't find them everywhere. It's not a show or a display of pride. Sometimes you come around some of them, they hardly talk. You talk, they say, thank you, well done. Okay, wow, great, great, glory to God. Or you are chatting, well done. Okay, fine. It's not a show of pride. You need to keep the verb of your soul intact. The Bible said in Proverbs 4:20, say, God, he said, my son, attend to my word. This is what it means to be separated unto him. Give thy ears unto my saying. Attend to my word. Give thy ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. He said, they are life to them that find it. So when you separate unto him, then his reality mingles with your soul. And when you have done that, in verse 23, say, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo. At the time I was listening to him, he said he had been in Lagos for 19 years. He only knows the road to the airport. He is only about his father's business. Jesus said, knoweth not that I should be about. But there are not many things you do. You are separated perpetually unto him. But they say something is happening on Facebook, you are there. They say they are dancing in Wadata, you are there. They say there is a birthday party, you are in all the birthdays and all the graduation service. And then you come on Friday because it's fellowship time. You think it's time to move in the supernatural. The supernatural is not for fellowship meeting. It's a lifestyle. It's for the market. It's for the office. If what you are doing is fellowship based, it's religion. If you like, let the blind be seen there. And it could not even be a function of your faith. It will be a function of the corporate atmosphere. The supernatural is a lifestyle. But a man who is not separated can't know it. So we come to church, we are singing, Holy Lord, I love you. But in your bedroom, when you come, it's, hey, people are there from morning to evening. Oh boy, when did they happen? Man! So it's a church thing. You don't know what separation is. It's a life. Committed perpetually to God. Many are not separated, and that's why they cannot be candidates of the supernatural. The door of your heart must be shut away from distraction. A guy called me this morning. He said those days he used to have dreams, and there is no dream he has that doesn't come to pass. If you see the way he was emphasizing it, he said, but now he can't have dreams anymore. I should pray for him. I said, sir, you don't need prayer. He said, no. I said, you don't. Are you demonized? He said, ah, come on, how can I? I said, you don't need prayer. Yes, you are proud, but that's not the problem. I said that one in my heart. I said, you don't need prayer. This is what you need. You need concentration. Commit your life to God. Shut out distraction. And then live a holy life. Live pure. If you begin to live this triangular life, your visions are there, they were not taken. The only problem is that your life is flooded with distraction. So even when God is using a trumpet, you can't hear him. Most of us, our life is a compendium of distractions. And then so you want to hear God. Because when they say you want to hear God, have faith. Or tell God that you are his son. Or God, you will joke. Men like Marlon Branham that began to bet and give expression to the forensic operation of word of knowledge. They were always locked out. You couldn't see them. They said sometimes, even when he's not on a retreat, he locks himself for 4 days. He's just there talking with the Lord, or worshiping God, or playing sounds just to anoint his soul, filling his soul with sound. Have you consecrated to a level where even when you're on bike, you are lost? It's not like you want to sing a song or worship. The song is constantly playing in your spirit. So on bike, most of the visions I see them on bike. Not even in the place of prayer. Most of the instructions I receive from God, they are on bike. When you are moving, the air is blowing, you are lost. But another person, he wants to go. Well, there's no need to overemphasize. It's separation. The second thing is what we call purity. Purity. That's what the fathers call holy living. Purity. You don't commit your heart to things that defy your soul. The Bible said you should run away from sin. It war against your soul. There are things that fight to destroy the configuration of your soul. Timothy is saying in 2 Timothy 4:18, he says you should run, flee from youthful lust. Flee from it. You run from it. If you are not a candidate of holy living, the spirit realm will be far from you. And if you insist and you begin to invoke possibilities, I'll show you some possibilities in the evening when I talk about the protocol. So you will know that even sinners manifest gifts. If you insist, you'll become an antenna that picks so many traffic. So when the Holy Ghost is not operating, you can flow by a familiar spirit. You can be a prophet and a diviner at the same time. And it's a dangerous place to be, because you will judge your maturity, you will judge your spiritual growth by manifestation. But at the end, when the scales of balances are open in the immortal realm, they'll say you are a worker of iniquity. And the place for workers of iniquity is away from me. Away from me. Away, away, away. So you must commit to holy living, life of purity. And these are the secure places to work from. If you are not in some of these areas, there will be a challenge. Never come to a point where you judge your growth by manifestations. Judge your spiritual growth by the degree to which God is real to you and his nature has become your nature. If you judge your growth by manifestation, even when you are deviated, you will not be aware. The elders were not chosen based on anointings and gifts. They were chosen based on natures and characters of the spirit. You must focus on committer to the Holy Ghost as a way of living. 1 Timothy 3:1-10, Titus 1:5-9. You see the criteria for eldership. Focus on Jesus. Manifestations are important. We need it to shake our world. Nobody talks down on them. And I will talk about it if I were to touch virtue. But even if I can't, then I'll deal with virtue, vessel, and protocol in the evening. But these manifestations are very important. Nobody talks against them. Without it, we can't change our world. Jesus was an upright man for 30 years. Nobody in his territory knew. They knew him as carpenter. But the day he came with power, the Bible says his fame went abroad. My brother, so we need manifestation. We need manifestation. So much of it. But don't judge your growth by manifestation. Before Jesus ever began to perform miracles, the Bible said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So you don't please God by what you do. You please God by who you are. Are we together? Praise the Lord. And then it requires consecration. I know I spoke about separation, but I'm also calling consecration. Consecration is a bit deeper than separation. Consecration is, it goes a bit deeper into saturation, what you call saturation. You are not just separated unto him, but you are full of him. You are mingled with him. You have become one in essence with him. If these dimensions are operational in your life, it will be natural for you to operate the supernatural. You will not even know. You will not know. People just mingle with you and go back and say, this thing happened to them. The Bible said Moses wist not that his face shone like the sun. He was saturated with God until He didn't even know that at this time his face was already shining. You stay with him so much that a point comes when you just shake people and then they go back and call you later and say, oh boy, the pain I used to have here is no more. Sometimes you even saturate the ambience of your house. People come to your house and they have visions, they have encounters. People come to your house and things depart from them. Say, ah, what is happening? You are full of him. But you will not pay the price of committing to him unless you know that he is holy. And apart from holy living, you cannot walk in his dimension. So some of the things we pray for are actually our inheritances. But we don't commit to what we need to do to walk in them. If a child doesn't grow, it's a waste of time asking the father for inheritance. If he grows, it becomes a natural bequeathment. If you don't consecrate to the Holy Spirit, most of your prayers will be in vain. You will waste your time. If you consecrate unto him, most of your unnecessary prayer points will be reduced. Because the things you pray for will flow out of you naturally. There are many people that don't stay in God's presence. I'm not just talking praying in tongues for 5 hours. Those are exercises of the human spirit. I'm talking intimacy. Not just tongues for long. I know most of us have exercised ourselves to speak in tongues. My brother here is a tongue machine. The tongue. It's good to exercise your human spirit. Your human spirit will be very strong. But it should be about him. About knowing him. About entering into his realm, about touching him, about feeling and perceiving his reality. So that you are not lost in speaking in tongues and you don't make contact with God. So the focus is that today I will pray till evening. You are praying for 5 hours, you have not heard God. Wait first. Wait. Who are you talking with? Wait. Ask yourself, wait. Okay, where are they going? You have prayed for 5 hours, you have not heard God. Wait, there's a challenge. Stop praying and listen for some time. Maybe you are not listening. Because the thing is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's a communication. You didn't come to shout at God. You came to have fellowship with God. You know, now we have even made tongues. He's no longer speaking in tongues now. He's shouting in tongues. We need to... we need to redefine. Now we shout in tongues. We don't speak in tongues anymore. Well, when you go higher, there is a release of energy in your soul. So you can't contain it. It's natural because we are human. So there's nothing wrong with that. So don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, always try to have fellowship with God. There's a place to exercise your spirit. Speak in tongues for 10 hours. But it shouldn't be all about tongue. It should be about God, hearing him and becoming like him. It's a life of separation. And if you don't practice it, you will not be strong. And the spirit realm will be a story to you. Even when you experience it, you will not know it. You have encounter today. The next 2 months, the same encounter you had, if they are talking about it, you wonder. You prayed for somebody yesterday, it was healed. Now you see a sick person. You don't even feel like going there. You don't know how to even start. The realm has sucked away. What you did yesterday, you are trying to say, how do I pray for this? You that was a captain of evangelism, now you see somebody... You are saying, how do I start talking to the person? Is it that Jesus loves you? You it's as if you can't remember. That's because you were walking from a reality. And that reality is far now. So you will discover that in this thing, we don't become masters. We only become more yielded. Because it's God breaking out of a man. Not a man using God to achieve something. Hallelujah. It's a function of consecration. And then the last thing we'll touch is that he's a person. You know, it's the Holy Ghost we are defining. First, we said he's the third person of the Godhead. So we looked at co-equalness. And then we said he's a spirit. So we looked at what it means to be the spirit of God. Then we also said he is holy. We've looked at what it means to be holy. Now he's a person. You know, if you think the Holy Ghost is a thing, a phenomenon, or a feeling, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. I don't want to say it's an insult on his person. I don't know how to put that language. But it is terribly wrong to think the Holy Ghost is a phenomenon. To think he's a thing. Some people come and they say, every time they ask, it's like God has become an ATM machine. Where you go to pull money out, go and spend on your lust. Come back, pull money out, go and spend on your lust. If you don't know he's a person, you will not know that he has personalities like you. When we talk of personality, we are talking about the expression of your essence. What defines your being? That's the meaning of personality. The expression of your essence. And your essence is expressed either through your emotions, through your will, or through your mind. Are we together? So the Holy Ghost is a person. But since I said it's not theology, what is the implication of him being a person? The first thing is that he can be grieved. So the man is taught the principles of faith and he's going for the meeting to manifest the power of the Holy Ghost that is grieved. He doesn't know. Ephesians 4:30 said you should grieve not. So it is possible to grieve him because he's a person. Imagine if me and Collins were fighting and we are not talking, and then I come here now and I begin to sing his praise. He will sit down and look at me. Does this guy have a conscience? Is this guy a human being? The Collins that I offended bluntly, blatantly, and refused to apologize, now that I'm on mic and he's here, I want to create impression and I'm talking about Collins. Collins will sit down like this. That's what the Holy Ghost does with most of us. You grieve the Holy Ghost, you are aware. Then you came for the meeting, you are talking about the Holy Ghost. Even the angels will look at you like this. Man can be modified to a terrible creature. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Ghost? When you do the things he forbids. Don't do this. You do it and then you are going for a meeting. If you do the things he forbids, you grieve him. And that's because he's a person. He has a relationship with you and he has expectations. Most times, it's only we that have expectation of God. We say, God, you provide our bread. God, you provide this. God, you do this. Have you asked yourself, what expectations does he have of you? His expectations of you are communicated in terms of commandments. There are many people now, they say, because of grace, remove law. But it's the people that look as if they have law that have results. You go for healing and deliverance service, and then the man of God blows sacks and he drops it, and then the healing line is not ending. To a point where even marks on people's body vanish. Genotypes changing. I say, what is this? And then look as if the Dr. Paul is a man that professes law. It's as if they are the... But the guy who is saying you can do nothing, you see nothing. Actually, if you do nothing, you see nothing. Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Brother, he is a person. You become careful as you relate with him. You become careful. You say something, he is grieved. You sense it in your spirit. You don't say it again. Because you have become reasonable. You are growing. You do something, he's offended. You don't do it again. You quickly apologize and you don't do it again. Because you are relating with a person, not a thing. In fact, that's why you apologized. Many people are arguing that you don't need to ask for forgiveness. Well, I'm not a doctrine man. But me, I know God as a person. And if I offend a person because I know he's a person, I apologize. Even if my relationship is not based on it. But I have a conscience. The second is that he can be quenched. Have you been somewhere with somebody and he came to you and say, hey, bro, how far? He said, well done. What did it happen now? I did. What you have quenched the person. You have quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says you shouldn't quench the Holy Ghost. You come for a meeting, the Holy Ghost is gyrating. He wants to reach out to people. And then you shut things down. He said, no, touch this man. We now stand like this. He said, lift your hand. You want to manifest power. See, lift your hand. If you do it two times, the meeting will become dry. So when you are struggling, the third time you will not see anything. You have quenched the Holy Ghost. They say, quench not the Spirit. How do you quench the Spirit? When you don't do what he says you should do. You grieve the Spirit when you do what he says not to do. But you quench him when you don't do what he says to do. He said, touch this man on the head. But you are apostle of power. Who will stand like this? See, most times, right, our greatest errors, inefficacies, and follies are displayed when we are under the anointing. When God is moving with a man, that's where you see flesh. So we come and do like this. So the Holy Ghost is now quacking people. See, don't get me wrong, right? Everything we are doing can be right and everything can be wrong. It's not the action that makes it right. It's the degree of obedience. So the Holy Ghost may want to play in the service. Me, I've never experienced it. And that I've not experienced it does not mean I'll say it's wrong. Maybe the Holy Ghost wants to play with his people. That's why he's quacking them. Ay, Jesus, help your people. But the idea is this. You quench the spirit when you do the things. When you don't do the things he says you should do. So always be sensitive as you walk with the Holy Ghost. Find out exactly what he's saying to be done and do it. And you see that the Holy Ghost will become stronger in your life. We are talking about manifesting the supernatural. If the Holy Ghost is grieved, he will not manifest. If the Holy Ghost is quenched, his intensity reduces. And then you begin to struggle with the things you are not supposed to struggle with. Are we together? He can be resisted. Acts 7:51. You resist the Holy Ghost basically in two ways. One, when you don't believe him. That's what he was talking about, the stiff-necked people. They never believe him. When the Holy Ghost says, do this, you say, are you sure? Will this thing work? The Holy Ghost, he said, do this. You are saying, will it work? Maybe you should read the Bible again. Men like Smith Wigglesworth believe this thing so much that somebody will have cancer. His stomach is swollen up. He will come and punch. And the cancer will go down. Meanwhile, don't punch. Oh. It's the Holy Ghost that told him. Because if you punch and they die, it will change from healing service to arrest service. Because police will show up. Alright? So, don't resist the Holy Spirit. You resist the Holy Spirit when you don't believe. An unbelieving heart. Nothing, it grieves God. God calls it an evil heart. Numbers 13, God called them an evil heart. And the protocol didn't change. In Matthew 10:8, when at the storm, Jesus said, call them of an evil heart. In Luke 26, is it 26 now? Luke 8:26, there about 28. When he came down from the mountain also, and the people were struggling to cast out demons, he said they are a perverse generation because they can't believe. So when you don't believe, you resist the power of God. And then secondly, when you reason him out, God is bigger than your brain. That's why we obey him. Apostles say we live by his instructions, not by his explanations. Even when it doesn't make sense, trust. It's a deeper relationship. You know, relationships are basically in threefold. For humans especially. Horizontally. Not vertically now. You love somebody, you have affection, then you relate based on attraction, compatibility. But a point comes when affection is no longer so important. At that point, you now relate by understanding. When the lady was 21 years old, the cheek was so balanced. And that time she was using foundation. Now she's 38. So she's on the mirror for 4 hours. When she comes back, the cheek is still high. At that point, you may not even remember when she makes hair. You know, those days when she makes hair, as she was, you carry the hair and put it as screensaver. How many men do you see that their wife is 40 that is screensaver? The era of screensaver is gone. At that level, relationship travels to understanding. So it's the degree to which she understands your vision. The degree to which she is supportive. That's what matters now. So you are talking, she doesn't get it. You say, are you alright? You mean you can't understand? You don't care whether she had a long eyelash or they have barbed the whole... What do they call this now? They have barbed the whole eyelash and used... No, that one doesn't mount. But now it's understanding. And then there's a point where you journey beyond understanding to trust. Because there are times when you don't understand what he's doing, but you still believe and follow. Your husband comes and say, let's go to Maiduguri. Maiduguri. Especially for kings and rulers like Bishop Oyedepo.
Let's go.
Oh boy. I was listening to one message that Bishop preached. Is even his wife knows that when he sits on that white chair, she can't talk to him. When he's going to minister, you can't. That time is him and God. So that's a woman that knows trust. There are many things the husband will do he doesn't understand, but it's trust. How can a woman have miscarriage? Doctor say it's a miscarriage. You come, you say, no, it can't happen. And the doctor say if they don't evacuate her, it will be a problem. But the man say, no, it can't happen. And then the woman, maybe the first 2 days she was feeling pain, but she trust. Because it's not just that you have miscarriage that they say no. It has to be evacuated. If not, it's a challenge. Am I correct, colleagues? And the man say, no, it can't happen. And there's no more debate about it. Came to the house, said they are talking about your spirit. Off it. They can't talk about me. They can't talk against me. Oh, no, they are talking against. No, they can't talk against me. It's trust. And that's why Bishop Oedipo can boast and tell you, he said they've never had any problem. I hear some pastors that are saying it's a lie. It can't be. You don't have the experience. He has it. So keep quiet and learn. You are not the compendium of the revelation of God. The one you know is the one you have. Somebody else has something higher. So keep quiet and learn. He said he's never had a problem. Somebody told him you cannot live in marriage without having a problem. He said, am I blind? He said, there are two reasons why we have problems. One, either I'm blind, or two, I'm callous. Because we are sitting here, I'm sitting here, I can't sit on top of you, I can see you are there. So if I go to sit on you, it means I'm wicked. And I am not wicked. Our experiences are a function of our revelation. So he said, that is his reality. He said, it's a lie. Who told you? You are a proud man. How dare you challenge him? That's his experience in God. But they are functions of revelation. Never resist the Holy Ghost. Believe him. Even when you don't understand him, trust him. These are the things that make the Holy Ghost become powerful in the man's life. And lastly, he can be blasphemed. You know what it means to blaspheme? Matthew 12:31. He can be blasphemed. What it means to blaspheme is to have believed a truth and experience it firsthand, and then you come to say it is not real. You have touched the substance of something, and then you come back and testify against it that this thing is not true. It's blasphemy. And is that one the Bible said cannot be forgiven? You know, some people say, why is the sin of blasphemy unforgivable? God forgives every sin. It's painted black and white in scriptures. But there is a how sin is forgiven. Sin is forgiven through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost is the one that substantiates reality. The blood paid for your sin, the cross dealt with your sin nature. But the experience of forgiveness is communicated by the Holy Spirit. So if you say the Holy Ghost is not real, by what means will the sin be committed? So the price for sin is paid, the sacrifice has been paid, but the experience, the mechanism by which you receive the experience is what you cancel out of your life. So even if God is affording it, you can't have it. Because the one that communicates the experience of forgiveness is the one you are saying does not exist. That's why the sin of blasphemy is unforgivable. I paid $1,000 for Sister Anne. And then I sent it through the bank. So the bank comes to give her and they say banks don't exist. That banking is a lie. The money is there, but she can't receive it because the means through which I send the money is the bank. And she says she doesn't believe in banking system and the banking is a lie. So the money will be there and she can't have the experience. So when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you say he doesn't exist or his work is a lie. And forgiveness is part of his works. So you can't receive forgiveness. So the Holy Ghost can be what? Can be blasphemed. And all of these things are possible because you know he's a person. If you master these operations, and this belief system becomes your everyday consciousness, you will discover that walking in the supernatural will become relatively easy. Because the first thing you need to know to walk in the supernatural is the Holy Spirit. If you know him and you walk with him, the supernatural becomes a natural habitation. You were not created to struggle to walk in the supernatural. You were created to participate in the supernatural. Because you are created to be one with God. And God dwells in the supernatural. But the Holy Ghost is the means by which walking in the supernatural is possible. A lot deny it. A lot don't know it. And a lot resist it. You go back and look at these things and have it formulate your consciousness. Know the Holy Ghost and begin to build an everyday walk with Him. The men you see who are strong, these are the things they practice. I can come here and do certain things and set this place on fire. You may see it, but you may never walk in it. That's why the Bible said the children of Israel knew the acts of Moses, of God, but Moses knew his ways. The man who knows the how is the man that owns the manifestation. The man that knows the what is always a spectator. For you to walk into the experience, you need to know some of the things that makes for the occurrences and the possibilities of this reality. And these are some of the very basics and elementary. By the time we come back in the evening, we'll look at virtues, vessels, and protocol. At that time, we'll talk about what virtue really is and how you can use it to demonstrate the supernatural. And then we'll talk about the governmental dimension of the Holy Spirit. What you must become by the dealing of the Holy Spirit in order to be able to steward the virtues of the Holy Spirit. That time we may have need of going high a bit. But this morning, we just needed to explain these basics. You lift your hands toward heaven and worship the Lord. My time is up. He gave me a strict instruction to stop by 1:15. We have 2 more minutes, so let's just worship Jesus.
Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I love to be deeper in love. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more. How I love to be deeper in love.
Can you go ahead and make a commitment to the Holy Spirit? Tell Him you want to become more reverent, because now you know and you are aware that being co-equal with God is not just a doctrinal or a theological thing. It's a sign that He has authority over your life. Can you tell Him that you want to sustain more the consciousness of righteousness? Because now you know beyond doctrine that He is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows your thoughts and He knows your intentions. And you go ahead and declare that you are going to apprehend His confidence and do away with fear, because you have the assurance that He is omnipresent. Therefore, in every circumstance, at every time, He is with you. And you go ahead and tell Him, now you are willing to demonstrate your faith, because you believe that He is omnipotent, having the power to do and to contend with all the challenges of your life. Tell Him you know He is a blessing. So the many times you have grieved Him and you've gone callously, you will not anymore.
yourself perpetually pleasing him. You can't go away as if nothing happened. Next time you know his grief, you will wait. You will wait. You've been callous before now, but now you know he's a person having emotions and is grieved. Tell him you will not quench him anymore on account of your unbelief and faithlessness. Come on, talk to the Holy Ghost. The other Lord, you will never blaspheme his work, even if you don't understand it. Most of us don't. We write off things because we don't understand their operations. Tell him you will never blaspheme his work. You will never blaspheme him. You will only give glory. Even if you don't understand, you will give glory. Because you want to make a friend out of him. You want to make a lover out of him. You want to make an intimate partner out of him. Where he has the lead, he has the authority, he has the way, and you follow. Many times the reason the supernatural is far is because we don't follow. We want to take the lead. We give him, we want to prophesy. We give him, we want to bear testimony and witness unto his name. That was not how Jesus lived the life. Jesus showed us a definite life. A life that is perpetually submitted to the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in Acts 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 12, it said early in the morning, he was in the solitary place. That was a man looking for intimacy. The Bible said the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He followed. That's the man looking for the Holy Ghost. That's the man well pleasing to the Holy Ghost. No wonder he returned in the power of the Spirit. You want to make commitments to God this morning? Some of us feel he's a thing, so we only go where we have a need. No. You don't treat a person like that. You don't always come to your friend or call them and say, ah, I need this. No. You don't relate like that. Men are not animals. The Holy Ghost is a person. The knowledge of the Holy Spirit is the key to the supernatural. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You need to repent? Go ahead and repent. We have made Christianity a set of rules, instructions, and religion. We don't know it's a life. We don't know it's a product of intimacy and oneness with God. We need to repent. This is the time. Just tell him. Tell him you are sorry. Most of us are so irreverent. So irreverent. Sometimes it's disgusting. Thank you, Father. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. We receive your communion. We receive your communion. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.